Let's turn back to the bottom of Chedem and Aleph. So the Gemara there had said, it had brought the cases where Mo and I live next door to each other and we have scorpions apparently living in our walls. Great times, Mo, great times. So the Gemara says, Veha Amar Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says in the name of Elazar, why are you so worried? Why are you so worried about doing Bedikat Chametz then? Shluchei mitzvah einot nizokin. When people perform a mitzvah, they don't get hurt. Except for when they do. Except for when they do. Very good. That's tomorrow's show. Amar of Ashi. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why are we worried? So the Gemara answers, Shema tovad lo machat va'ati liyune batra. Maybe he will lose a needle in the same place where he's looking for his stale Oreos. Yes. And therefore, he will not be doing the mitzvah. So now the Gemara says, Uche hai gav no lav mitzvah. Why would you assume that just because Mo is now searching both for Avi's long-lost Oreos and for needles, that it wouldn't be a mitzvah, and therefore it won't trigger Shluchei mitzvah in a nizokin? V'hatanya, but don't we have a braita that says, Ha'omer sela zulitz daka b'shil shi'chia b'ni? If someone says, I'm giving this sela to charity so that my son will live, oh, she'a ben olam haba, or so that I'll go to olam haba, ha'rezet tzadik gamur. He is a perfect tzaddik. What does perfect tzaddik imply? This is perfectly good staka. It is a mitzvah. And therefore, if it's a mitzvah, it should protect you. So the Gemara says, no, you're assuming they're looking at the same time. No. Dilma batar debadak ati layune batra. As soon as he Mo successfully found the long-lost Oreos. Shkoyach Mo. We've been looking for them all year. He found them, and they weren't under the pillow. They were in a hole in the wall between my and Mo's attached house. With scorpions, correct. Avi really wants his stale Oreos. It's just getting more dramatic here. What? Yeah, scorpions as guards. That's why they're there. So the Gemara says, you're right. When Mo is going in there, if he's going in there to get the Oreos and the needle, fine. The mitzvah will protect him. But if he gets the Oreos and says, Avi, here are your Oreos, and then he says, but you know, my hand is already in here. Let me look for that needle I lost, or more likely, that Gabe lost, okay? Avi lost his Oreos and Gabe lost his needle. They were both visiting Mo. They were coming to my house for Shabbos and staying by Mo's, right? And eating with me. Fine, we now have gotten it. So before Shabbos, Avi stores his stale Oreos there and Gabe stores his needle. So he says, well, I need to go find the needle. No, that's not a mitzvah anymore. And at that point, the guard scorpions that Avi put there to protect his Oreos, they are now triggered and Mo will be in danger. Yes, except this is actually the case of the Gemara. Amazingly. I mean, slightly dramatized, but not by much, honestly. Not by much. So, great. What I want to focus on, tomorrow we'll focus on Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizokin, which is much more of this Gemara, right? You have to basically read through much more of the Amud. So I want to isolate this first line, which is, Ha'omer selezu litztaka b'shil shiachu yimini v'shil she'ezke b'lechayel maba ha'reze tzaddik. Gamor. I don't want to spend too much time on it, honestly, because I'm selfish and I don't like giving the same share more than once. And I've given it in the past, which is why I'm trying to do. What? No, no. Also, it's like it's a very nice sugya, but it's not a particularly hard sugya.
But your best, hoping you're gonna have like the best share ever, then you're gonna have to give it over.
So some share I've given more than once. I don't like doing it if I don't have to. Anyways, so. What is the major question that every Rishon wants to know about this thing? Why is it that when I say Omer Sela Zulit Staka, Now, what I'm not going to talk about too much, as it comes up, I will, is the question by non-Jews, because the Gemara in the first paragraph of Baba Batra implies this is not true by non-Jews, that if they do it for ulterior motives, it does not work. What?
That's not nice.
Yes, and that was why we did this sugya last time, and we'll see. Some of those reasons are going to come up as we go along. That was when I gave this year last, was when we did Baba Batra. The Gemara says you are a tzaddik gomel. What is the major problem that everyone wants to deal with, that even if I gave you no makarot, but you had just, you know, learned Mishnayos, very simple Mishnayos, after davening, at Mincha, on Shabbos afternoon, ever in your life, in the weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, that you would know this Mishnah? And if you're Mordechai, then you had Erech Chavrusa on Thursday, and therefore this should be fresh in his mind because we did it 5 days ago.
It's kind of just weird. You know it's good to do this.
Antignos ish socho, kibel mishemon atzadik, hu haya omer, al tiyu ka'avadim ha'mishamshim et harav, amenat l'kal bel pras. Do not be like servants / slaves who serve the master in order to get reward. Or shalom almanat, different your son Rabbi Yonah, remember? Shalom almanat lekab el pras. Serve God so that, not on condition that you're going to get rewarded, and may the fear of God be upon you. A major principle that is from that Mishnah is you are not supposed to do mitzvot for a mitzvah. Now, if you can only do a mitzvah for an ulterior motive, is that legitimate? Yes. How do we know? So the Gemara later on Daf Nun says, Lo'olam yaso kadam b'torah, and in some girsaot b'torah mitzvot, shalo lishma, even for the wrong reasons, shemitoch shalo lishma, balishma. Because by performing the mitzvah not for the right reasons, you will come to do it for the right reasons. Great. The major question that everybody is trying to figure out is, how do we deal with the fact that the Mishnah sets up as an ideal that you should perform mitzvot not for the sake of getting reward? The Gemara, while it legitimates doing it, the Gemara later on legitimates doing it for the wrong reason, but it's clearly not an ideal. And then this Gemara comes and says, no! Tzaddik gomor, you are righteous beyond righteous.
Rabbi,
you are perfect.
Rabbi, because who knows that long term I can polish him up?
So what is, right? So this is the major question that everyone wants to know. And if you had looked at Tosfot, I didn't even tell you to, but you should have obviously. Right? Tosfot just says, V'ha ditnan al di, right? Tosfot right here on Chet Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, don't serve God for a reward. Question, .. Good. Before I read Tosfot's answer, before I read any answers, someone tell me, let me erase the board first. Someone tell me. So let's deal with the stira. Okay, here's the contradiction. Okay? Give stuff. So son will live tzaddik gomor. Yes? On the other hand, don't serve God for reward. Yes, this is the contradiction?
Yeah.
Good. How do we deal with it methodologically? Before you give me specific answers, methodologically, how would you answer this question?
We can separate the idea of reward of having your son live. We can say that there's something more fundamental to wanting your son to live.
So good, right? Is one is, right, we could, let's see, how would I do this? So one would be, limit the rewards that are problematic. Right? Limit the rewards that are problematic. Yep. What?
Good. The other is to limit Sadik Gamor, meaning
this is still better. Sadik Gamor isn't as strong as it sounds.
He's not completely up to speed.
Right? What? Correct. Limit how. What?
Tadesh, Wild Sara. Maybe you can say, oh, giving tzedakah, like there's an aspect of serving God to it, but there's also an aspect of bin adam l'chaver.
Then you can say staka is different. Very good.
Staka is different. Yeah? So these are a few approaches we can start taking, types of approaches.
Maybe don't only serve
God. Oh, very good. You could limit it and say, right, it's... Only.
Right? Yeah?
Right, yeah. That was the other.
Right, don't serve God only for reward, but maybe reward is...
We understand that that's a part of
the process. Sure, right, maybe it can be... Good, so these are like a few different approaches. You're going to see that more or less, right, the Rishonim take different approaches that are going to fit nicely. Right, it's a very neat sugya. This is not like a... It's a very nice little sugya, and in Machshava, it's actually beautiful. Like, it's a nice little... Okay? So, let's start, before we look at Tosafot's answer, look at Rashi. Harei ze tzadik gamor b'davar ze.
In this thing.
Yep. Rashi goes for this. Right? Rashi. And, yeah. In... this, you know, what you did is okay, good. Or if you want to make it much easier, you could literally just change the girsa, which would be the best way, which would be in Rochanana, which I hear you on the first source. Ha'omer seledu l'tzak b'shvil sheyichyo b'ni u'b'shvil she'eskel l'maba harezet tzadik gamor v'yesh mefarshin harezet tzadik gamor. Is that tzadik gamor? Oh, come on. It means, right?
Good try.
Staka. That's all. I mean, are you the greatest person in the world? No. It counts. Shkoyach. Gamor. Not like, yes, it is not staka. Groisi ashekoyach. It is not staka. Tzadik. It's not staka.
Staka.
Now, we don't know whether Rabbeinu Hananel thinks that this is unique for staka or not. We don't know yet for Rabbeinu Hananel.
Yet.
But his point is, look, should you serve God for reward? No. But this counts as stucco. It's not stucco. Sure. Right, now if you continue in Rashi says, V'lor means lo lishma oseh. I mean, all it means is it's not lo lishma. It's not lishma. Got it? He says, in this, you are tzadik gamor, meaning it's not considered not lishma. I have indeed fulfilled God's will because I did staka. And I happen to also have other kavanah. So like, Rashi says in this, meaning like, I did staka. Was it the best? No, it was shalol lishma. But like, tzadik gamor doesn't mean tzadik gamor. It means like, yes, you are a tzadik. Not a chassid. You're not like the best of the best, but you're like, not a bad person. I mean, you're totally... adequate human being. Shkoyach. You are an adequate gamur. It's entirely adequate. So Rashi's basic approach is like, look, we like people doing not for reward, so how are we going to solve this? I mean, it's adequate. You are totally adequate. You are entirely adequate. Shkoyach. In this, not even in general, this act was adequate because, like, you were aware of the fact that God said you were supposed to do it. So, two thumbs up. Great. Correct. Tzadik Gamor, normally we think of it like Tzadik Gamor, not like you are wholly adequate and not wholly with an H.
Oh, you are wholly adequate. You're basically, you're
wholly,
you know. Yes, exactly. You're not wholly. You're whole. Whole. I mean, you're not. What?
A C student.
No. It's passing, correct. I understand what you said. No, it's not even that. We're not grading you. It's just, this is a pass-fail course. You passed. We're not even addressing. You have passed. You are... Thank you. You have passed. It's a pass, Valcorus. You have passed. You indeed did what God said. Pass. Wonderful. Pass.
Sadik Gomor.
Greg, you are in the Sadik Gomor course. You have passed it. Right? Not with flying colors. You have just passed. Right? You have passed. Ideal? I'm not telling you it's ideal. Pass. Right. Great. So... Like, wait. Yeah. Anyway, Tozvot says, right. Now, Tozvot says, no, let's be careful. Tozvot says, when do we say, Al tu kavan sham shen rabba not lekabal pras? Hainu b'chiyai gavnash im lo tava lo ota tova, shehu mitzape tohe umitcharet alat staka shasa. Tozud says what Binyamin said.
When we say,
don't serve God for reward, it doesn't mean you can't think about reward. It doesn't mean. What does it mean? Don't serve God in such a way that if you don't get the reward, you would regret having done the mitzvah at all. Meaning, you're allowed. Tozud says, you are a tzaddik gomor, mamash, if you serve God for reward, as long as what? As long as you don't make it contingent. Right? As long as you don't make it contingent. As long as you don't say, God, I'm only doing this mitzvah, so you know... pay me for it. You don't pay me, I'm going to regret. I wish I never did it. Because what's Tosfot say? How does Tosfot read the Mishnah? What's the key for him? What words in the Mishnah are the key for him?
Al minat. On condition. It's not that I can't do it.
Hoping for reward. I just can't make it contingent on reward. Okay. That's what Tosfot thinks. Right, now you can tell. This is a radically different view. Because Tosfot now, limaskana, right? Philosophically, if I asked you, what does Tosfot think? What should your perspective be in terms of reward when you perform a mitzvah? What's Tosfot's answer?
I want to think about it.
Totally fine. All you have to do is make sure that you wouldn't regret performing the mitzvah. You didn't do it, but you're actually allowed to be aware of reward. This is like at the opposite extreme of Rashi. Rashi says, what is implied from Rashi? You are perfectly adequate in performance of just this one act.
So,
right? Which sounds like...
You didn't even pass with $20.
You just passed. It's not, right? It's just like, I mean, you passed. Okay, great. Are you the biggest tzaddik? No. So if you ask Rashi, should you be thinking about reward? The answer is...
Probably not.
Mm.
So is it like if you're doing volunteer hours just because you're required to for school... and you really don't care about what you're doing, you don't care about the effect that you're having, you're required them for school, versus doing them, they're required for school.
Yes, chesed hours are...
But you're doing it because you're...
Chesed hours are not, you know, God's...
I'm making a comparison.
I understand, yes.
As in, you're doing chesed hours, in one case, strictly because you're required school versus...
So according to Tosfot, it would be like it's totally legitimate for me to do my chesed hours if in the end of the day they say, oh, I'm sorry, for a technicality, this doesn't count for your chesed hours. You're not getting hours. If you said, that's a shame, but okay, whatever. I mean, I enjoy doing this. Tosfot would say you're still a good person, right? But if you said, then what did I do this for? You start screaming at the person in the soup kitchen. Right, Tosfot said, you are bad. You are a bad person. You are a bad person. Right, Rashi would say, no, like if you do it because of your chesed hours, you are, you adequately served at the soup kitchen. Thank you. It was adequate. You, in fact, gave food to the poor people and they ate. Thank you. What?
Back in the day, like in Israel, you have to serve your country for a certain amount of time. I think they should do that in other countries.
Thank you.
We have that in the US for a while.
I'm glad that you are encouraging a mandatory draft in America.
No, it doesn't have to be a draft.
I didn't say to the army, a draft to community service, civil service. We call it Sherut Lumi in this country for those people who are drafted not to do army service.
National service.
That's what it means. That is exactly what it means. Yes, I know. That's what I was talking about. I had that also. Chesed hours. I don't think I had it in high school, but I had it in elementary school in eighth grade. Chesed hours. 40 hours or something. I don't know. Okay. Okay, guys. Look at Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz. Guys, look at Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz on our daf. What does Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz say? He says, Sela Zulit Staka Bishvil Cheska Im Tomar. Tosfot says, I don't understand. The whole Amrinon Bimisechet Avo. Doesn't the Mishnah say, no, but I'll tell you, Kava, the Mishnah, the Rabbeinu, the Kava, Pras. So answer one, V'yesh Lomar Degartzin Hacha Reitz at Tzedek Gamor. Yes. Right, similar to Ben Chananel. Gersa is tzedek. It's you know, tzedek, same idea. Right? Yes, you did that. Good for you. Inami.
I love how they just shrug their shoulders and say, "Gersa change."
Inami, dergasin acharei tzedek kamer b'davar zeh. Alternatively, he actually takes Rashi and he says, "This is not interpretation. This is the Gersa." Harei tzedek kamer b'davar zeh.
Figured that was going to.
Right? That's literally what it says in the Gemara. I thought so. Gamor. And he says, either change the Girsa. And if you don't change the Girsa, what should you do? This is like very classic. What does he do? He says, I give you two options. Change the Girsa to say Tzedek. Change it to say, and if you don't change the Girsa, then what should you do? Interpret it as if that is the Gersa. Those are your only options. Right?
So,
and then in his third answer, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Hata Mairi Bitoel Rishonot, that maybe it's only when you regret it. That if God doesn't give you what you asked for, then you regret it. And then this is where I said I'm not going to focus on it. But Binyamin, the reason what Rabbeinu Peretz adds that Tosfot doesn't hear, I'll just bracket it for you, is this is right is guy makes right that Rabbeinu Tam uses this to explain why the Gemara in the first paragraph of Batra implies that for non-Jews. It's terrible when they do tzedakah. Amanat lekabel pras is because Tosfot assumes that they are making, they're not just doing it for the pras, they're actually making it contingent and will regret having done the good deed if they. Now, of course, we can talk about whether he's making, is that because Rabbeinu Tam assumes this all the time? Or is he making a psychological assumption of most Jews and most non-Jews, right? I have no idea. I don't have any idea as to whether he thinks, you know, what he's doing. Yes, what are you saying, Mel?
You're saying that you shouldn't do a good deed
if
you think you might regret it.
If you are going to regret doing the good deed, if you don't get your way, then the answer is yes, avoid it, essentially. That's what he's saying. Don't do it.
And maybe like reassess your whole life.
Yeah, like that is a terrible attitude, right? To be so not vested in the good deed that you would regret doing it if you don't get your the externalities.
Like
and yes.
If
it doesn't impress them, and then you regret having given it.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. Then no, right? That is exactly it, because that is horrible. If someone says, look, I like kavod also, but I believe in this charity. I believe in this, right? I believe in hatzalah. I'm happy that they're saving lives, right? I thought they were going to name a ambulance after me, and they didn't. But, like, I'm happy that it paid for an ambulance. I mean, I wish I got the kavod too, but I'm glad that the ambulance was to save lives, right? Then that's fine. Ideal, not ideal is what we're talking about, but it's fine. But if you say, ugh, Well, I don't care about people, right? They didn't name the ambulance. Ugh, I hope those people die, right? Something like that. Yeah, you should avoid that. You understand? When you say it out loud, yeah, it's... When you say it out loud, you're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be giving stucco. I don't know if I want your money, you know? Right? Yes, the person who comes to the charity and says, you put my name on the door, but his name is bigger, right?
It's one block above mine.
Right? Yes, that type of person is like, you are not a stucco giver. You are a jerk.
I mean, sir, that's appealing.
I mean, you feel bad about taking the money, but you still want it.
You know, at some point, people say no. Right?
Because if you feel bad enough, you actually just wouldn't take the money. He's distasteful enough.
Yeah. Right? It was like after the... Wow, that smells so strong. Once they put the food in. Like, oh my God. Yep, that's fish tank.
Rob, I don't know if she was my second or third cousin. Losing Israel got in contact with me and wanted to be in for coffee. We were sitting down at a coffee shop, and while we were sitting there, we were only there for about 20 minutes. But a significantly higher percentage of people asking for tzedakah came up to me. I think because they thought that I was on a date and I would give tzedakah to impress her. So like that sort of logic.
There you go.
Would want to do a good deed just to impress people.
Well, not who just to. The question is, they're not just.
Exterior benefit, so people would be willing to take advantage of that.
So what did you do? Did you make fun of him? Or that?
He showed his cousin that.
Now, I will just point out that very interestingly, if you look at the Chavetz Chaim, I won't read the whole thing, but if you look two sources down here, the Chavetz Chaim, the Chavetz Chaim says, this is actually not crazy at all, because he says, look, you know what probably happened? But if the Gemara had said this, Hare, Zeh, and then did it in Rashi Tevot, Sadi Gimel. You know how all of you come over to me with Rashi Tevot? What does that Rashi Tevot stand for? And sometimes it can stand for 20 things. So the Chavetz Chaim said, yeah, that's what happened. And the Gemara said, Hare, Zeh, Sadi Gimel. Right? At some point, some person got it wrong and spelled it out Sade Gamor and didn't realize it was supposed to say Staka Gamora. Right? That's how you would get to this Gersa issue.
Is he allowed to say that?
What?
Is he allowed to say that?
No one's stopping him. That's the answer. No one's stopping him. Okay. The Nachlat Moshe suggests that Rashi is actually a little bit more ambitious than that. Slightly more ambitious. So if you look at the Nachlat Moshe, he says, L'chora kasha. Pam achat staka reit tzadik gamor. What he gave staka once, he's a tzadik gamor. V'ayin b'Rashi shekadav al davar zeh u'machshav azu. So Rashi says, with this act, this thought, v'ayin shu davar zeh tzadik, Rashi, you know what it means? Shevarega hazeh hu tzadik gamur. At this moment, he really is a tzadik. When they're in Le'el, God will also say, Seder yodim Moshe Rabbeinu, dizevada idyev shal lomar, vizhoth ha-pam tzadik v'seder yoter gadol Moshe, l'gavanu shevarega hazeh shenot tzadik hu tzadik gamur. May it means, like, in that moment, you achieve the status of tzadik for a moment. Okay, great. Wonderful. I guess that's a slightly more expansive reading. However, if you look at the Midrash Shmuel, then I'm going to give you more shita. But let's just first go on the sheet. Midrash Shmuel solves the problem differently. And he says very clearly, the solution is this. The answer is that no. Staka is different. Why? Why? So you tell me why staka is different. So he proves it from the fact that I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much. But the Gemara says that by all mitzvot, are you allowed to test God? No, except for possibly tzedaka, definitely meiser, and then there's a machloket whether that means tzedaka. So he assumes that it means tzedaka also. Now, why would that be the case? Meaning, you're testing God. I will give this and see what the result is, right? Right, the Gemara there is, I can give meiser on condition, aser bishvil shetzit asher. Give meiser on condition that I become rich. Yeah, right, because the pasuk says, "Chanuni no vaso, test me for this." Now, why does he say this?
Um,
What would be the logic for that?
Because I can't want you to help your fellow ministers.
Good. So the formal one I would just say, right, is that Stucca is also that did not go well. Is also consequentialist.
Right?
Or if you want utilitarian. Utilitarianism is a subset of consequentialism. Consequentialism just means that morality is defined by the consequences. Utilitarianism is a subset that says it's specifically the utility that it causes to people. It could be something else. Right? But the argument that maybe Stucca is different, because maybe Stucca is uniquely, because God wants the poor people to be helped, is more consequentialist and more utilitarian, and therefore there we allow you to focus more on the reward, because all God cares about is the outcome. But maybe that's unique to Tzedakah. That whenever the act is important, so then obviously you do not reward by Tzedakah. So that's, he says, shiny mitzvah Tzedakah, shehi mechuleket mishot mikol shara mitzvah. Tzedakah is different. Shebishar mitzvah k'tiv lo tenasu et Hashem. My other mitzvah, it says, don't test God. V'mitzvah at Tzedakah k'tiv v'chanuni navazot. And by Tzedakah it says, test me. So by other mitzvot, you do not reward. V'od, v'hi d'psachim kamar reize tzadik gamor, v'tzadik mitkirei, chasid lo mitkirei. He says, that's possibility one. What's the other possibility? Is, now this is a version, this is a, right, this is different than this, but it's tzadik, not chasid. Right, tzaddik, not chosid, which means tzaddik doesn't mean what you think it means. Tzaddik means good, not best. Best is chosid, and is pious. This is the Midrash Shmuel. So this is very important, because what does it say when we say that don't serve God for reward? Well, correct, right? That he solves the contradiction. By saying that when the Mishnah says don't serve God for reward, it means don't do it if you want to be the best of the best of the best you could be. But that doesn't mean you're not a good person. This is an ideal. Right? This is aspirational. Right? So what he's really saying is, right, don't serve God for reward. That's aspirational. It's not the law. You're not doing anything wrong by doing for reward. It's just not the best of the best. And Sadiq Gomer doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're a good person. It just means, yeah, right? And he says, you'll tell me that's not what it sounds like in Avot, right? It doesn't sound that way. He says, yeah, but Avot is itself the book. How do Chazal understand? Chazal have a nickname, right? Well, not nickname. Chazal say, if you want to learn Avot, why would you learn Avot? The avot, hey, if you want to call shar any, right, it's all mili de chasidim. One who wants to become a chasid, one who wants to become a chasid should learn avot. Meaning, avot is aspirational, right? So in that short line, he's telling you something fundamental, which is that avot is, right, is the book of aspirations, right? Which is a very big difference than saying it's a book of normative law. Yeah. Okay. So
second. Okay. Fine. One more source on this page, and then we'll go through some other possibilities. He says, "Yesh mitarzi lechora kasha madua katz b'agamara omer selazulit staka." V'lo yitzarach lichtov notin selazulit staka. He makes a different deal. He says, "Well, it's weird. It doesn't say if you give staka; it says if you say you're giving staka, so that your son lives." Why? Yesh mitarzim zo kach. HaOmer, dahainu adam shekavanato letzitzak b'leiv shalom. Ach lemekabel hu omer ninotin lecha b'toras zgula b'shil sheyach yebini. This is actually very clever, right? He says, look, you're right. You're not allowed to give tzedakah to get reward. But sometimes poor people are really embarrassed. Right? Right? So it's not that you're giving it, but you say to him, no. Listen, don't be embarrassed. I need you. Right, I need to give tzedakah because I need the segula. Yeah. Right, you're doing me a favor. Right, by taking my tzedakah.
Wow. Okay, fine.
Right. He wants the poor person to feel like you're doing him a favor, and he feels good. Won't be embarrassed. Now he says, yeah, that's why you're at Tzadik Gabor. Not only are you giving staka, right? Right, is? Now, this means, right, you really shouldn't serve God for a reward, but it's legitimate to
make
someone feel good.
Wow, that kind of turned it on.
Right? Good. Okay. So let's go through some other possibilities, right? I sent you my summary of a bunch of different mikarot. So many poskim follow the position of Tosfos that it's about whether you regret. Some make the distinction of Jews and non-Jews, some don't. So if you look at this, is true in the Shulchan Aruch. Right, Beit Sha'arim. The Radbaz follows this position, the Midrash Shmuel, that it's only tzedakah that can be done this way based on the proof of the test, because tzedakah is consequentialist. We care about the poor and we want them to get money. This is accepted by the Yehuda and Drashat Avot Zion, by the Alkut Yosef. It's called the Alkut Yosef, Michal Yitzchak. Now, very interestingly, and we've mentioned this before, some say team stuck in here for. Then maybe all bits of the Chavira are consequentialist. Right? Because I care about helping others. And therefore, so this is the position of the Avram Doraita. Emakalacha says it specifically about this. The Avram Doraita makes this argument more generally. What? Oh, so Bidikat Chametz would make a lot of sense, because if it's mitzvah that are consequentialist in nature, that this applies, so then you would say, yeah, the bedikah is consequentialist, right? Meaning, I care about my house being searched. I don't care why you did it, right? It's actually a very good mitzvah, so another way of doing it is this, right? Is saying that it's not fair, slash, all, right, consequent, consequentialist, mitzvot, right? So when we say don't serve God for reward, those are mitzvot where the focus is the act and the kavana. But anything that's focused on the consequences, and yes, bedikat chametz is very plausibly a mitzvah. If I had to pick a mitzvah that's quite obviously consequentialist in nature, bedikat chametz is, right? Right now, many of the mefarshim go in the direction of tzaddik benat chassid. Right, it's in many of the Mefarshim on Avot, it's when we'll see them in our Chavrus on Thursday. It's also in the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Kol Eliyahu. Now, the Levush Mordechai we're going to come back to, right, is what we're going to see tomorrow, is he says,
look, for schar, right,
you get more schar if you do it not for schar, because it's a better mitzvah. But what is the question in our sugya? Is it defined as a maisa mitzvah? The answer is yes, because we just need to trigger it as being a maisa mitzvah for shluchei mitzvah and nizokin. And basically, how would he read our Gemara? Good. So how would he read our Gemara? Right. He would read our Gemara as saying the havamina was without pure kavanah, it's not a maisa mitzvah. The shluchei mitzvah isn't triggered. Kamash malan. It's a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. Which again,
if you have a question about this specific case, okay, fine, but okay.
Yeah. It. Now the Meshiv Davar, interestingly, goes a little bit farther than Tosfot. Okay? He goes farther than Tosfot. In what? So this is what he says. He says, Elias.
What source did you say?
This is, I didn't give it to you. It's what I sent out to you. Right? Meaning he says, look, the fact that. Right? He says, look, the fact that I'm not going to regret the mitzvah if it doesn't happen means that at some level, what am I doing by giving tzedakah? Exactly. I'm recognizing, it's an act of faith, that I recognize that God can, is the only one who can help me. And therefore, it's not just that if I don't regret it, then it's fine. It's that if I'm not going to regret it, that means I'm doing the mitzvah because I care about the mitzvah. Why am I doing it now?
Because
I have faith that God can help me. So it's just like I daven, I do mitzvot, right? So this I found very interestingly. If you look in the back of the Masivta, in the Kafter Veferach section, right? You don't have. It's basically just like collections of interesting ideas on Agadata. But he has something that goes in this direction that, again, it's more machshavik, but I think it's interesting. And he said, he tells the following story. He says that Haya Ashir Be'iri Vaya Minhage Tamid Ligvot Menut Staka Vaya Pazran Gadol Cholat Staka Pam Lepidyon Shvuyim Pamim Litzorach Ani Lichot Shabbat. There was a guy who was very philanthropic, and he would, anytime you needed anything, he would give tzedakah. Right? Didn't matter what you asked him for. But once, but then once his son was sick, and he came to the Avad Shalom, and he asked him to daven for his son, but he didn't offer to give him a penny for tzedakah. And he said, the Avad Shalom said, I wondered, why? This guy is so generous. Why suddenly now is he not offering tzedakah? So he says, because yeshtei bechinot b'mitininat tzedakah, there are two aspects to giving tzedakah. Bechina echad mishenotin mitzad teva rachmanot sheyesh lo b'teva lev rach v'rachaman. One reason that people give tzedakah is because they're nice people. They're giving people. It's natural for them. Hagam she'ein lo kol kach emunah she'tzedakah tu'il atzilo m'mita. But he doesn't really have faith. It's not a faith thing. He doesn't believe that tzedakah can protect him. He's not a big believer in God. He's just a nice person. But he's been adam lach makom, right? He's not necessarily weighing in on anything metaphysical. He's just a really nice guy, which is good. I'm not saying he's bad. But im kol zot notenu mitzativ ocheish loy rach rachaman. V'im kol zeh nikra tzadik. So that guy is a tzadik. But then he says, there's people who give also because they have emuna in the power of tzedakah, meaning binan lamakom, they also believe in it, right? And that God will, right? He actually thinks that it is a fulfillment to give tzedakah, recognizing that God promised that tzedakah tatzel mimavet. That's not just binan lachaver, it's binan lamakom. It's an act of faith to give charity and believe that God is going to reward you as he said he would. Such a person will end up giving tzedakah even if he's naturally stingy. Because his tzedakah is an act of faith rather than an act of natural kindness. Right, he breaks his nature and forces the Yetzer Hara to give tzedakah. Now he argues that's better because it's an act of faith. So therefore, he says, you know what this Gemara means? Why are you at Tzadik Gamor? And this is taking the Netziv even farther. Saying when you give tzedakah, when God said you're allowed to test him for tzedakah, and therefore you give tzedakah so that your son lives, it is an act of faith in God that I give the tzedakah. Again, as long as I don't regret it. If I'm going to regret giving the tzedakah if I don't get what I want, then you're just using God like a vending machine. But if I'm not going to regret it, but because would anyone say that I'm not allowed to daven for the things I need? Because I want the things I need, and that's why I'm davening? No. Yes. Right? That would be crazy. Right?
So what you have here is, right, when it said in Abba Shalom, see variations on giving staka, right, as an expression of things.
Right? That staka uniquely, now that could be related to staka is different, but they're saying it as a subject of Tosfot, right? I can't regret the mitzvah, right? But if I'm not going to regret the mitzvah, then the fact that I'm choosing to do it now is an act of faith, and that's why, yes, you are a tzadik gamor, right? You are doing something fundamentally very from, right? And again, I don't think that's crazy, right? Meaning how many people we daven and we do mitzvah, right? I don't think it's crazy. I don't think you should think of it like magic, right? I don't think you should think of it as magic and say, if you light candles, if you light an extra candle Friday night, God will save whatever. Don't do that. But to recognize that it's in God's hands now. And the best we can do is to improve ourselves and hope that God listens. I mean, that's about as Jewish as you can be. Right? That's what religion is at some level, is having a certain amount of faith in God. So that's what the Avot Shalom and the Netziv are suggesting. Let me just run through a few more shikot here just to fill out the picture. So the Be'er Sheva has a different diok here, and he says that when you say HaOmer Seled Staka, which sounds like it's B'diavad, it's post facto, he says, yeah, it's not lechatchila, but okay, you did it, fine. Now, some people prove from here that in general you shouldn't make nidarim to do mitzvot, maybe only when you really, really need it. Bishat sarah. Again, as I mentioned, there is a machloket. Several of the mafarshim assume that tzedakah is different because by tzedakah you're allowed to test God. As I mentioned, that's not obvious. The Gemara only explicitly says you're allowed to test God by maaser, and there is a machloket in the mafarshim, quoted in the Ramah in Reish Mem Zayin Dalid, if that extends to maaser. Obviously, several of the shitot that we saw assume that maaser is a stand-in for all tzedakah, but not everyone agrees to that. Some say, no, it's a gzeirat katuv by maaser, but in general, you never let it test God. Okay, what other gersot? How do you deal with tzadik gamor? So I'm just going through what they have. Yeah, some change the gersot to tzadik gamor, tzedek gamor, or whatever, or at least change the meaning to that. The Rashi has another possibility, which is Harei Zeh Tzadik Gamor Im Ragil B'Kach. Which is, look, if I give tzedakah a lot, like basically every day there's something bad going on in the world, and I say, okay, today I'm going to give $100 to tzedakah to, because I heard that person's sick, and or because of, to, in honor of the people who are still being saved in Turkey and Syria after the earthquake. Right, and tomorrow I hear of someone who's sick and I do it then. So another possibility is, look, you're not a tzadik gamor, you do it once. But if every day I like find something that's going on, and I say, I'm giving $100 so that person get better, that's actually, you can understand why at some level it's not really an ulterior motive. It's like I'm a giver and I also have a lot of faith. Right? So this is sort of a hybrid answer. The Yad Ramah says, yeah, you're at Tzadik Gamur because your primary kavanah is L'shem Shamayim. The Chazon Yecheskel says, you're at Tzadik Gamur again, as we saw here, in this fact that it shows you have faith. It's not the best staka, but it is an act of faith. Right? So this is like a dividing. Right? It's a version of the Avot Shalom, where the Avot Shalom says, you are the biggest Tzadik to show you have faith. He says, no, it is that you are showing faith, and that is a mitzvah. Your staka is not ideal, but your faith is ideal. Right? So that's like a, yeah, it's like a compromise position that it's not the best. Now, many of the Mepharshim have another stira that I didn't give you, but in Ketubot, Samach Vav, Samach Zayin, the Gemara there tells the story of the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion, who was one of the wealthiest people in Yerushalayim, that eventually she's found eating the barley out of animal dung. And the Gemara there says, they ask Rabbi Yochanan ben, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, what happened to all of your father's money? And she says, well, my father didn't give tzedakah, so he lost all his money. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? He gave tzedakah all the time. And the Gemara says in its first answer, no, he did, but he did it for his own kavod. So the Mepharshim there say, well, I don't understand. We said you're allowed to do tzedakah for ulterior motives. So how could it be? Maybe it wasn't ideal, but for that his daughter is punished? So the Marsha says, and this is another important thing. He says this. So now we get somebody who says this. Says there's different types of reward. It's wrong to ask to do a mitzvah to be honored, because honor is like punished. But can you really blame someone who says they want their son to live? Right? Marsha says, I mean, come on. There's some living versus kavod.
Yeah.
You know, come on. He says, I don't understand. You gotta be, look, you don't want to serve a reward, but you really gonna blame the guy? His kid is dying and he says, God, I'm gonna give money. Please just help my. That's a very different thing than I'm giving $1 million so that I have my name on the board. That's a different. That's different. However, the Hafla says no. He says, look, you're a tzaddik, but you, if you want to be at the higher level where God, it, stuck as poverty in the Gemara is called the Galgala Chozer Ba'olam, is the circle that goes around. At some point, everybody, them or their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren will suffer financial strain. Like, that's just nature. To have people who are always rich forever is very, very rare. So to get to the point where God's going to make it that you and your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, no one will ever, 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 ever need money is a miracle. You want to be Zocha, that type of miracle, you got to be a perfect, perfect tzaddik. So Nachdim ben Gurion, he lost his money. It's not a punishment as much as, so God didn't save him from poverty. Remember, this was during the time of Churban HaBayit. It wasn't like he lost his money randomly. Right? It was, he wasn't saved from losing his money. So here they give it now a whole page of other possible answers. So I'm just going to make sure we, you know, covered most of them. Even though, look, they're all going to plug in, but I'll give you a few more. So we saw Tosfot, the Urayim. Says maybe the problem is,
right, it's about primary. The Urayim says it's about primary versus secondary. Meaning,
he just says, look, your primary intention can't be reward, but you're allowed to have other kavanot involved. That's not a problem. Rashi, we already saw. Yeah, the Maharid is another possibility. At some point, do I have to write all these on the board? Or if I, at this point, you know where these are going. I'm just giving you more, okay? Yeah. Maharid says, look, it depends. What orientation do you have towards God? If you serve God miyira, out of fear, then doing it for reward is bad. But if the type of person you are is that you always serve God out of love, and then you also happen to be doing for reward, that's okay already. Because
reward is part of a loving relationship.
Yeah, meaning you already love God, and therefore it's an expression of faith. Meaning I love God, I believe you take care of me, and I think you'll take care of me and help me if I give tzedakah. If I have a fearful relationship, so then it really is transactional. But if I love God, so the fact that I also have faith in God that he's going to take care of me, that's part of why I love him. It's part of the relationship. And then it's okay. That's the Maharit. Again, other people focus on the almanat and things like that. And then he has another possibility. Yeah, there's a difference of different types of reward. We're honored, don't do. Your son living, we don't blame you. Others we saw say it's only staka gemura. Others, as we saw, said that, look, avot is midat chasidut. And this is quoted in many of the shita, not just the one we saw. And the Tosfos Yom Tov just adds, yeah, meaning it's not illegitimate to do things for reward. That's why the Torah gives you rewards and says, do this mitzvah, you'll get rewarded. If it was totally illegitimate, it wouldn't tell you that. And the Maharal is medayik. Yeah, it doesn't say it's usher to serve God for reward. What does it say? Al tishu. Don't be that person. What does that mean? Like,
don't be
that. It's not like it's usher. It's just, it's not the best, but okay. The Aramelech distinguishes between stuck and other mitzvot, and many, many achronim, again, argue this. Their full list of it is Maharit, the Ranach, the Parsha Droche, Marsha, one day, and then they go through the whole machloket of whether you can test God only in Meiser or even in other tzedakah. What? Well, why Meiser would be different? I don't know. I think it's just because it's Gzera Katuv. Because it says, Chanuni Vavazot. I don't have a good svara as to why Meiser is different. I don't have a, you know, is it because like Meiser is particularly, I'm giving part of it to God to show that I understand this is not really mine, as opposed to Tzedakah, which is about taking care of the other person. The set Meiser that I get every year is recognizing nothing I have is really from me. So maybe there I can say to God, listen, I will acknowledge that this is from you.
This is
something like that. I'm not really sure if I have a great svara for it, but maybe something like that.
Okay.
Now some say the Aruch HaNer says also that there's a difference between physical and spiritual reward. What's his proof is the second case here, because we haven't really talked about the second case, but the second case is that I get Olam Haba. I mean, that's totally reasonable, right? I want to have a relationship with God and Shamayim. So I do mitzvah. Like, so then you'd say, what about Yechia? Correct. But then why would you say, Areza Yechia B'ni? So he says, well, maybe the Aruch HaNer says, maybe that's what it is also. I mean, part of the reason I want to have kids is not just to have kids, but I want to raise my kids in the way of Torah. I mean, think about what we talked about with Brit Mila. Part of being a father, like definitional being a father, is training your kids to be... Remember we talked about that?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Brit,
yeah,
Lachmizah Reader Shalom Avinu. So he says at some level, maybe... Correct, but he's thinking very Chana-like. Right? Give me a child not for me, but for you. I understand, but that's his defense. Right, again, the Grah focuses on the Tanai. The Oni Yom Tov is another difference, and he says maybe there's a difference between mitzvah chiyuvit and mitzvah kiyumit in general. I probably should have done this earlier.
Oh, wow.
Which is, meaning I can't say I'm going to do lulav so that my kid gets better, because you have to do that. I'm going to put on tefillin so this happens. Like, you have to do it.
Okay.
But mitzvah kiyumit, he's like, when I get stuck, I mean, like, in general, I'm going to have to give stuck, but I'm not going to have to give $100 right now. So he says, maybe a mitzvah chiyuvit. I must do this mitzvah now. I am chayev to take the lulav, put on my tefillin, whatever. Obviously there, that is a horrible thing to do. Say, I'm only doing, it's like I'm holding it over God's head. I will only put on my tefillin if you make my son better. That you can't do. But if I say, listen, I don't have to give, I give stuck in general, but I'm giving another $100 I didn't have to give right now because someone's sick and I want them to get better.
Expressions of your character, but your character is shaped by the situation that you're in. So you can, so it's more of a, it's more of an easy transition of, oh, I'm in this situation, therefore I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
It's also an expression of my character.
Exactly. Yeah, and the proof here, so this is interesting, in the Sefer Emuna Bitachon LaRamban, he writes, Ukvar Hizkir Antignos Yisocho LaTalmidav, Al Tiu Kavanam Shamsin Arava Manala Kaval Pras. Don't be, Aval Hanotin Selot Stakar B'shul Sheyechye B'no B'shul Sheyizke L'chayla Mabba Eino B'chal Azeh. And so this is not a violation of Antignos Yisocho. Why? Ki mitchila tisha'aza mitzvah azot, she'ez reshut b'yado limayit ba'ola harbot v'asal l'shem kach, because a mitzvah that I have the right to do more or less of, eno doma l'ochal matzah b'erev ha'pesach, it's not like eating matzah and pesach l'kona lula v'atzma l'somar Shabbat, or keeping Shabbat, right? I will only keep Shabbat if... It doesn't work that way. Because there, again, he says, what's his proof? The Pasuk says, trust God and do good, which implies that it is an act, again, it's an act of faith to do mitzvah, just like an act of faith to daven when bad things are happening. It is an act of faith to do mitzvah, thinking that in general, again, not that you make it contingent, but I understand that God is power. God is... There is a system of scharva unish in the world, and therefore it is not illegitimate. Okay, I think we'll stop there. Like I said, I thought that this is a very important sugya because, again, it does, A, it's our sugya, but it also, it cuts to a lot of broader philosophical issues that we've opened up. It's a nice little topic. It's not that, like, it's philosophically very interesting. It's not overwhelming. You know, and obviously we could go and find a million other ones, but I think going through a bunch of them and literally just reading through all the possibilities in the Masifta, that's enough to at least get some perspective.